Email the drive at espnau.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell.
Hey, Bill's
here
back.
In the studio. Yeah, well, I mean, I was on the air yesterday. I was just at the house.
We had a...
I didn't get confirmation. Well, let's see. They didn't call to tell me that I had strep, so I guess it's just a sore throat.
Okay.
They said they would. I was told they would definitely contact me if I had strep.
Okay. Here's my question.
Or anything contagious.
Are you feeling better than you did this time yesterday?
I don't know that I feel better. The pollen has got my head all stopped up, but my throat feels better.
Okay, I'll take it. If your symptoms are...
I mean, yesterday I'd been concerned because for a couple of days I was having trouble, you know, swallowing. My throat was really sore.
I mean, honestly, you seemed kind of worn out yesterday at the top of the show, too. Maybe it was the strep symptoms you mentioned.
That and waiting for a few hours trying to get in and get seen and everything. So
sure.
No, it was also back-to-back days of... grandparenting, chasing little ones around the house.
That'll
wear you down too. But back here in the studio. Good to have Jason along before he heads to Missouri this week with Auburn baseball, which got another run rule win last night, which we'll talk about it in a little while. But right here off the top, Auburn is trying to hang on against Mississippi State in day one of the SEC basketball tournament in Nashville, leading 60-57 with a little over 5 minutes to play in the game. This has been a game that is really sort of seesawed. Auburn jumped out early, but Keyshawn Hall picking up a technical, which was his second foul. Just a couple of minutes into the ball game, set him on the bench for most of the first half, and Mississippi State was able to come back sort of looked like they were taking control as they led at the half by three. Auburn made a little run to cut it to three.
Auburn gets a great dunk just now on a high post pass from Murphy to Freeman, who was cutting to the basket, and Elijah Freeman now gets Auburn up five.
Yeah, so anyway, it was a 33-30 Mississippi State lead at the half. They scored 5 points in the first minute of the second half, and I thought, oh, no, here we go. I mean,
the runs we've seen in this game, and especially in the second half.
There have been 10-2, 11-3, 19-2
Auburn
runs.
Pushed the lead to 12, and Mississippi State immediately responds with two threes and a three-point play from Josh Hubbard.
Yeah, 9-0 run, right.
Yeah, and you look at Auburn and go, look, Todd Pettiford, Keyshawn Holler combined 7-for-22 and 3-for-12 from three, and you've got a lead. And so, Kevin Overton, again, has been he's almost been Mr. Consistency for this team offensively. He's probably played better than anybody else offensively. Keyshawn Murphy, hot start, has been pretty solid.
For the minutes, I mean, he has 11 points and 6 rebounds in 17 minutes today.
And Auburn turns a break. I think it was a steal, but they got
it. Elijah Freeman with a steal.
Yeah, they got
it
the ball
into a three for Keyshawn Hall.
Got the ball with numbers, and it's Williams Adams kicking it to Overton, and then Hall from the wing for three, and Auburn is up eight.
Yeah.
Yep.
Only 7 assists for Auburn right now. It's been a lot of go get a basket kind of basketball, which is what they've kind of evolved into here.
Auburn had 3 assists in the first 2 minutes
of the game. And that's it. They've got 4 since then.
Jason, where are you on – I think my stance as far as Auburn's life on the bubble would be if Auburn won today and won tomorrow and lost to Vanderbilt on Friday. Do I have that right, Saturday?
Yeah. Right. No, yeah, it would be Friday.
Yeah, they lost to Vanderbilt. Sorry, I've been traveling for a couple of days.
I think
wins against Mississippi State and Tennessee and a loss to Vanderbilt.
I think that's the only chance you have to stay on the ball.
I think you're going to Dayton. That would be my my prediction would be, as of right now, that if Auburn won today and won tomorrow and lost to Vanderbilt, I think Auburn is one of the last 4 teams in, and I think they're playing to be an 11 seed in Dayton. I think they're in the first four would be my prediction.
You got some help today. SMU lost.
This bubble has been awful. It seems like everybody that's there on the bubble can't, you know, Can't handle it.
I think a more normal win. A more normal bubble, and we probably would be doing you know a postmortem.
UCF's down nine.
You'd say Auburn's got to be playing not on Saturday. I think they need to at least be playing and on Sunday and maybe have to win it all.
I mean, think about that A&M team that made it all the way to the final a couple of years ago and didn't get in. And it's like, think about their resume compared to from an overall wins and losses standpoint.
This Auburn team has better wins.
Yes.
More losses, but better wins. But UCF's down 9 with 6 minutes left. That's another bubble team that's right there. I mean, like, I don't think it happens at all, I don't think there's a chance unless you win two.
Yes, I think a loss to
you got to beat Tennessee. You got to have another one of those wins, and you got to take care of business today. Yep. And look, there's 4 minutes for this team up 8. That is no gimme for this basketball.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And State is, you know, with Josh Hubbard can score quickly. Yeah. Auburn has given up some open looks. They're fortunate that Hubbard has missed a couple of open shots.
Don't turn it over
today
and make free throws. Mm-hmm. Normally, if you're up 8 with 4 minutes left, if you don't turn it over and make free throws, you're going to be in pretty good shape. But you never know with this team.
And Auburn is also, Auburn hadn't shot free throws that well today. They're 9 for 17. State is 3 of 11 at the free throw line.
Yeah, I don't know that USC was on the bubble, but they lost to Washington today, too. Yeah. They were probably off of it anyway.
They were on the bubble earlier in the year. I feel like they played their way.
7-13 in the Big Ten. They probably put them out of it.
They played their way. We can look around a little bit as far as what some of the competition
is. I think two at a minimum, and then you hope that the rest of the bubble works your way. But because of the wins you've gotten, I think a Tennessee win, if you've beaten St. John's, NC
Florida,
State, Florida, Arkansas, beat Tennessee, if you have those types of wins, you're probably going to be in pretty good shape, but you're going to have to beat Tennessee tomorrow without question.
And I would say pretty good shape, meaning on the right side of the cut line. I mean, you still might
be off of it.
But you still might be in the first four. Like, you might have to win a game.
Correct.
You might have to win a game to get to the field at 64.
Here's the thing. I would rather be an 11 playing in Dayton than I would be a 9.
I agree. If you want to get to the second weekend?
No question.
Because if chalk holds, you would have to beat one of the top 4 or potentially
and you're not doing that. How about this, even a
10? I think if you're trying to get to the second weekend and you're trying to
UConn, somebody like that is a 2.
And I still think there's value in, I know it's been sort of a coin flip, but I still think there's value in the confidence of getting that win in Dayton for the 11 seats.
Shown up year after year.
For the 11 seats,
We've seen 11 seeds go win there and go make it to the second.
I think last year both of the teams that won, I forget if Xavier made a run, but I think both of the teams that won the first four last year got bumped in the field
times.
Of 64. But we've also seen UCLA go to the final four. And that was a UCLA team
Was it North Carolina that made a run a couple years
North
ago?
North Carolina was also, a team that's done well out of the first four. So, I mean, we've seen teams turn that into lengthy stays in the NCAA tournament. But I would say if Auburn can string together a couple of wins in Nashville, a couple meaning I think at least two, maybe if you beat Vanderbilt, You're talking about not even being, I think if you beat Vandy, you're probably
an 11 without the first four.
Yeah, I think you can play your way out of the first four in a good way with 3 wins. But I think with 2, to win today and tomorrow and to be left out of the NCAA tournament, I think would be a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, here's my question now. Even with a win today, what's your confidence level that this team right now can beat Tennessee? And Tennessee haven't been playing
low, very low,
20% maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it would be
that high for me.
It would, you know what they would need, and for Tennessee, like, you don't have the urgency.
Well, there's nothing Tennessee can do to help themselves, in my opinion.
Like, where's Tennessee as as for like their five line?
You can go win it. You're still going
to
be a 5.
That was about to be my question.
We've seen that for Auburn twice.
If this Tennessee team won the entire SEC tournament,
you might move to a 4.
I don't think so. I think that there's an urgency gap between these two teams, right? And I think that plays to Auburn's favor.
You would think. I know. We've been saying that
for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, and they were even questioning it there on the broadcast, the telecast today.
There's one
Fish
today.
Fish was being asked, where's the urgency?
For 14 minutes of the first half, there was none.
No, that's true.
They got a little bit at the end of the first half, and then you start the second half there and see if they can finish it off.
And you're right. You could argue that there have been, in the last, 4 Auburn losses, there was an urgency gap in the games, and it wasn't
back up to 12 with 3 minutes.
Even
now.
Beating Kentucky, we've seen that's not a very good Kentucky team.
No, you're right. I mean,
you had at home to beat that team.
It took everything Kentucky had
Absolutely. To
beat LSU today.
Correct. And so you look and go, it just hasn't been there. Maybe a strong finish today gives you a little confidence. Because they haven't had confidence in quite a while.
I'd love to see them be able to actually carry something over.
Absolutely.
if they get something positive. That's been the problem here down the stretch.
Don't fall to the last 2 minutes and have to hold on. Go win it, and win it going away and be able to relax a little bit would be a big deal for this team.
Yeah, I forget I'll see if I can pull the exact number up. But Auburn, I mean, Auburn's offense was pretty stagnant to start this game, right? Auburn was in the 20s.
Auburn was barely shooting 30%.
Right, and Auburn was in the 20s, like pretty late into the first quarter.
Yeah, I mean, literally, if it's not for Kevin Overton and Keyshawn Hall. I mean, not Keyshawn Hall. Well, Keyshawn Hall has actually come alive making free throws here.
Yeah.
Up to 14 points. Auburn's lead up to 14 now under 2 minutes. But, yeah, Kevin Overton, 8 of 18, 6 of 11 from 3. No turnovers, 5 assists, 4 rebounds for him. Elijah Freeman, 10 rebounds today to go along with 7 points. But Keyshawn Murphy, 11 points, 7 rebounds. You've gotten some production from other guys. And, once again, your two guys that you kind of been wanting you to carry are 8 for 23 combined. So, I mean, those guys 33% from the floor, and you're winning.
Ooh, and a big three from Overton stretches the lead now to 14. Is that right? So, I mean, Auburn now, you know, 73-59 with under 2 remaining. Looks like they're in pretty good shape to hold off Mississippi State. I just said Auburn had 20-something late into the first half. Yeah, Tahad hits a three with 13 seconds left to give Auburn 30.
Yes.
Right? So, like, Auburn's offense.
Well, and he had 43 points here in the second half.
Yeah, I mean.
We saw it, but that's been the I want to say
Auburn
the rest
has not played two good
correct,
halves.
Not even close.
In quite a while.
And it's been defensively and offensively.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, they have played better today. They've done a much better job. 61 points for Mississippi State. I mean, heck, he almost scored that many by himself in starting
right.
the last time.
And you know, I think you would agree that a loss today to this state team.
Oh, it's over.
Would have been.
Oh, yeah.
No, not just that, but I think it would have been particularly like. I mean, this is. It's a state team that's probably near the bottom of the conference in.
I mean, look, you've got Mississippi State, Ole Miss, LSU, but I think this is the least talented team in the league. As I was driving over here today, I said they got one player that's better than anybody Auburn's got, in my opinion. I think Josh Hubbard's better than anybody on Auburn's team. He's really good.
He's a guard that starts everywhere in the league.
But the next, if you want to go seven after that, I think the next seven are Auburn players.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
I mean,
Auburn sniffed around on a shore, right? Yeah, it was at Samford.
But I think you look at it and go, I think the next seven guys, and look, he's played 22 minutes, has 7 points and 8 rebounds. He's okay. But, I mean, he's not better than Keyshawn Murphy.
No. Maybe he's in Auburn's rotation, right?
I think you go seven deep after the first one. I think Auburn has the next 7 best players in that group.
And that's my point about, like, how deflating –
it would have been to lose
a loss. A loss today would have been, and how many? Look, you have to ask yourself tough questions anyway this offseason, right? Because you're in no position. If you're Stephen Pearl and these coaches, you're in no position for this thing to go backwards in year two.
No,
right?
Yeah.
So, like,
everything about year two doesn't hinge on whether you win this one. It doesn't hinge on making it to the NCAA tournament. None of that. It hinges on can you and do you want to keep 4 or 5 of these guys. And that's the question. I think you do, but I mean that's still to be determined. And then, can you go get 4 or 5? This is the Michigan recipe, in my opinion. You keep 4 or 5 players that average 20-25 minutes and were solid guys, and go get 4 or 5 really good players.
Mm-hmm.
And you have
can you do that?
You have the basis,
right.
And then you go get a couple of guys that can take you to the next level. That'll ultimately determine what year two looks like. But that being said, you got to get guys that want to do what you want to do. Which is you got to go find some guys that can play defense and score, and you got to have legit shooters from the perimeter and two bigs. I mean, that no matter what happens from here on out, those are things you must have.
And you probably need to brace for the possibility of. I mean, you have five underclassmen right now in your rotation, with who can come back and I think be slotted into next year's rotation if they decided to come back. you would need to brace for what to do if any of those players wanted to leave and go do something else, yeah,
I
mean, right?
Do you like, think I don't think all five are back.
You think about Kevin Overton, Elijah Freeman, Sebastian Williams-Adams, Jovich. Who was the fifth?
Todd Pettiford's a sophomore.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I don't think Todd's back.
I don't think all five are back.
Personally, I don't think you're going to pay him what it takes to get him back.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he goes to the NBA, but I think somebody's going to go. Hey, we're going.
Somebody
take a
will.
Shot. We'll take
somebody
a shot at that
it.
Guy.
Yeah.
But I think for you, it's almost going to be like, can you go find a true point guard and a shooter,
mm-hmm.
and Overton back as a potentially either a small three or your two guard, your backup point guard. He's been pretty good, especially down the stretch. Yeah, lots of things to be determined for this team. But hey, you're on to the second round. Mm-hmm.
Exclamation point dunk from Kevin from Keyshawn Murphy after against his former team.
Yeah, I mean,
after an offensive 15 rebound,
15 to 9 for him,
and then a block of Josh Hubbard on the other end by Murph as well.
Nearly got the second tee on the dunk on the rim hang.
We were just talking about it, though.
They decided there was 20 seconds left in the game and they didn't want to do it.
We're just talking about it though. Auburn had three assists
in the first few minutes.
After that. They finished with 15. So here in the last couple of minutes.
Eight assists down the stretch.
And not surprising, hey, 47 points second half.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it in Tuscaloosa, 53 points in the second half the other day, but they were so far down. They stayed in the game today because they played better defense. And now you get a chance to go play a Tennessee team that has not played great down the stretch itself.
And if you win,
77-61 is your final. As Auburn goes to 17-15 and moves on to day two.
I made the poker table metaphor yesterday, Jason. It's I mean, look, Auburn, since, you know, if you need the stack, the coin stack to get into the chip stack to get into the NCAA tournament, Auburn had a big one again, you know, after the Florida win, and they've steadily seen that thing decline. Since they were 14-7
today, you pushed all what little bits you had in.
Everything is all in, and now you got to let it ride. They're all in again.
Hey, you can't hold anything back.
Yeah,
what's that?
Nope. Yeah. I mean, but they still had a seat at the table.
That dodgeball reference.
And until now, right? I mean, you've got a seat at the table tomorrow against Tennessee, and I think with a win, you could earn yourself a seat at the table in the NCAA tournament at the very least, the first four in Dayton. I mean, you went into – ESPN just showed the graphic. You went into this game as Lenardi's first team out. You won it. You beat Mississippi State as the first team out. I think that probably pushes you back in with a Tennessee game tomorrow.
Yeah, well, no.
He said today, listen, if that provided that you beat Tennessee
yes,
tomorrow.
Yes, he said that makes them in today, but if they lose tomorrow, they're out.
You are essentially – you have earned the right, because there was no mystery about what would happen if you lost today.
But again, the win just keeps you alive for another day.
Yes, it does.
And if you don't win tomorrow, you're back out.
But I do think, it sounds like there's consensus with the panel here, that if you win tomorrow, you beat Tennessee,
then you're probably in.
I think you go into Selection Sunday. Yeah,
in.
not comfortable, but
no,
I think you go into Selection Sunday believing that you are one of the 68 teams going to make the field.
Yep. All right. Auburn was down. Look at the numbers here over the last 22 and a half minutes, because with 2.5 minutes to go in the first half, they're down 10, 33-23.
I guess to hide the layup at the buzzer.
Scored the last 7 points of the first half. And then outscored Mississippi State 47-28 in the second half. So you outscored Mississippi State 54-28 over the last 22 and a half minutes.
Well, we were talking about, too, what happened in Starkville. Auburn was up 65-59 with 3:59 left. That was a layup by Epps. Cuts the Auburn lead to 6 with 3:59 left. Auburn outscored Mississippi State 14-2 in the last 4 minutes. That's how you finish a game.
Yep.
That's how you have a little bit of confidence going into another game. We'll see if it carries over. And it's kind of like baseball. You're only as good as today's pitcher. You're only as good as if Auburn can make some shots early on tomorrow and get a little confidence going. But hey, you got an opportunity now.
Yeah, Auburn had a 10-minute stretch in the first half where, I mean, Auburn's got
where they were couldn't hit anything.
Auburn's got 17 points with they're about
up four, 17 to 12.
Okay,
that's right.
So Auburn's got 17 with about 14 minutes to go in the first half.
It was actually 13-16. They hit the three. It was Sebastian Williams. Okay. Sway hit the three with 13-16 to go in the first half.
Okay, Auburn
from that point over the next almost 10 minutes.
Yeah, how about this? Jovich hits a free throw with 3:55 left.
Almost
that makes
10
it,
minutes.
That makes it 28-23. That gets Auburn their 23rd point.
You're six points in almost ten minutes.
Okay,
basically.
And so you serve. I mean, to be able to survive a game in the SEC tournament where you spend 10 minutes and score six
and
points.
I think that tells you about like you're not doing that against anybody else.
No,
I don't think you're doing that against LSU. I don't think you're doing that against Ole Miss. You're able to do it today because Josh Hubbard didn't go off.
Right.
But that's also – you needed a pretty drastic turnaround in the second half offensively. And I think that illustrates – and the fact that you get 47, you know, after spending half of the first half scoring only six is – yeah, it's –
Actually 49.
That's this team. That's this team. They can go for 10 minutes and score, you know, single-digit points.
Can you have 40 and 40 versus 28 and 52?
And 50, yes.
Because that's the issue, is that can you be consistent, sustain it? And, you know, you look at, like, field goal percentage, Auburn 42% today. Only turned it over seven times, and several of those were in that run.
Right.
And so they were able to not have one of those kinds of days, and now they get a chance to go play again.
All right, so Auburn wins and advances. We will get to our first break of the afternoon. Love for you to join in. Bill, Dan, Jason here in the studio, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, as we're just underway here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover here in the studio. Auburn Undercover and doing a great job getting lots of opportunity now. You need basketball to keep going.
Yeah, get a couple more wins. Would give me at least baseball. Another week. That would be nice.
Yeah.
And next week is an unbelievable baseball week. Now, obviously, Auburn opens SEC play this weekend at Missouri. And if you can go win a couple out there, you'll stay in the top 10.
Yeah, I saw some people going, oh, this is a must-sweep series.
No,
it's like,
no.
Man,
Missouri's won 13 in a row.
Yeah, they're 15-2 and have won 13 in a row. Yeah. You can't count
on sweeping anybody on the road. No, you just go win two out of three.
Yeah.
And then next week, you have top five Georgia Tech, top five Texas.
How about that?
That would be
it's great spring, and spring break's done. So
yeah, get a chance to get some fans back out there. But yeah, no, there's no must sweep situations in week one against anyone, especially on the road.
It's just must not get
just
swept.
Not get just go try to win a series. Yep. That's what you're trying to do.
All right, 334-321-1390. Let's get to the Drive Hotline, and Terry gets us started. Hey, Terry.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Hey, I got a question for y'all. Do y'all know how many teams have made the Final Four but yet missed the tournament the next year?
It's happened before. Florida missed the tournament after the back-to-back championships a couple of years ago with Billy Donovan. There was another one
a couple of years ago.
It is single digits, Terry. It's happened, but not that often.
I think it's more
than a couple. It's five or six.
But when it happens, I would think that it's a situation. I mean, I think back to that Florida team. You know, when they graduated all of their entire starting five and started over.
A lot of guys.
It's like, I mean, Auburn. Like, who from last year's starting five is back? Right on this team, who from the team that played meaningful minutes in that Final Four game against Florida is back. Like, if there's ever going to be a situation where a team makes it all the way to the Final Four and then struggles to make the tournament or stays on the bubble, it's going to be a situation where you're basically replacing everybody on top of a coach retiring the week practice starts. Right. So, I mean, I think it would be obviously it would be a deflating end to a season, especially when you think that Auburn looked like they were solidly in the tournament as late as the end of January. Right? I mean, after that Florida win.
At the end of January, Auburn was solidly in. They were looking at, being a 6-7 seed or something in there when they were 14-7 and 5-3 in the league.
To me, going from that to out of the tournament would be way more disappointing than the fact that last year's Auburn team went all the way to the Final Four and now you're out of the tournament just because it looked like you had it in your grasp this season. And then maybe you let it slip away. Although if you beat Tennessee tomorrow, maybe it didn't slip away after all.
Do y'all think Tahad Pettiford last year fed off the senior class and the incredible depth they had?
I think he fed off having other guys who were experienced, mature.
He wasn't the target.
Correct. And he was able to play off of Jani Broome and some of those guys, and there was no pressure on him last year.
I think it's a completely different guy. It's also really tough. I think it took a certain kind of player as a true freshman to fit in with that group last year. When you think about all the experience they had and the edge that those players played with, I mean, we're seeing this year how tough it is for some freshmen to step onto the court in the SEC and do what it takes offensively and defensively to justify minutes and to stay in a rotation. Auburn has a couple of freshmen watching basketball right now because they couldn't fit in the way Tahad did last year. So no, I think it goes both ways. But no, you're right. I think someone in Tahad's position would have, he certainly helped to be playing with the kind of players that you had on last year's team.
Now, Jason, where do you stand on the Coach Pearl situation? Do you think you'll get another year?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No. There's no scenario other than, hey, they found something that was done wrong.
Yes, it would have to be something off the court. Yeah. There'd have to be something like that. I think.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be a difficult team with Bruce Pearl coaching, with Mike Krzyzewski coaching. I thought this was going to be a really hard situation because you completely rebuilt a roster.
Can I ask, Terry, do you think that it would be unfair for Auburn to, like, make a coaching change right now or make a coaching change right after this offseason? Because I kind of want to see what Stephen Pearl – like, I understand skepticism. I kind of want to see what he can do with a full offseason to try to steer things in the right direction. And if it doesn't take a step forward in year two, or even if it goes backwards, then I think there's reasonable concern, right? Reasonable doubt that Auburn is in the right position. But I want to sort of wait until he has a chance to learn from this year and try to fix things next year before I would want to render a verdict. Are you in that camp,
no,
or do you
I
think
say,
you've seen enough?
I say no, Dan. Yeah. I say no because I think he should have went somewhere and become a head coach. He's got his feet wet a little bit.
But okay, then who should be the coach? They had no option to put him to be the head coach.
In the situation that Auburn had with the timing that there was, I think you had to go in house. I mean, you're not able to go out and get an established coach, somebody that's got experience, the day before practice starts. So,
it's funny how it worked out that way, right?
Well, it's not coincidental, but don't think that wasn't the plan either.
Although I want to say to that, Terry, I think that even if Bruce Pearl had announced after the Final Four, if he had announced at the post-game press conference after the Final Four loss to Florida that he was retiring, I still think Stephen Pearl is Auburn's head coach. I do not think the timing. To me, if you want to get conspiratorial,
I'm not 100% sure.
I believe Stephen would have been the successor.
He might have been.
I feel that way.
But
if you want to get conspiratorial about the timing, Bruce Pearl waiting 6 weeks into the semester to retire made it very difficult for any player to leave.
Absolutely,
you can say, oh, it made it easier. Auburn had to hire Stephen. I think Auburn would have hired Stephen no matter what. But if Bruce Pearl retires in July or August and Stephen takes over, does the entire roster stay?
No.
Does every player stick around? For everyone who signed to play for Bruce Pearl, does every single one of those guys stay with the entire college basketball world as an option? Because you can leave when there's a coaching change,
The
semester wouldn't have started anywhere. If you want to get conspiratorial about the timing, I think that Bruce Pearl waited to retire so that all the players had to play for Stephen this year. I don't think Bruce Pearl retired when he retired so that Stephen would definitely get the job, because I think Stephen was definitely, especially after last year,
I don't know.
Stephen was definitely getting the job.
I don't think you can say definitely, because there's no way in my mind you can say definitely.
Okay.
None.
I think most likely, you want to go a little back?
I would say he would probably.
He may have been.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm not even going probable.
I think there would have been a search.
He definitely
would have been a candidate.
He would have been a candidate. Yes.
I'm willing to go.
That's all I'll say.
I will back off from definite to probable. I think he would have been the likeliest candidate to replace the likeliest. Especially after the success of last year.
Okay, then that's why I question the timing.
Okay.
Because I don't think there's a choice because of the timing. You have nobody else.
And I would agree with that. But I think the timing played. I think the larger thing about the timing is.
I don't know if it's larger. I think it's part of it.
Yes, I think both were very, very important.
Either way,
yep.
Stephen Pearl's back year two.
Yep.
You're going to have a rebuilt roster, and look, now he's had to learn on the run with a bunch of brand new guys, and a bunch of guys that, in my opinion, were not going to fit together, no matter who the coach was, because I just don't think you didn't have a true big. You didn't have a true point. And then you didn't have a bunch of guys that can play defense.
And you have a lot of guys that are new to Division I basketball. Right. And a lot of them have eligibility remaining, which suggests that maybe they understood this wasn't going
to
be a
need to get most of them back.
A 1 year thing.
Anything else, Terry?
Hey, last thing, guys. I'm sorry. Yeah, do y'all think this team is better with Bruce Pearl as the head coach?
They're probably better, but I don't think this is a team that is better than a 7 seed.
No, I don't know that they're much better than 500 in conference.
Yeah.
I think Jason Caldwell would tell you before just about anybody else, a lot of the work is done before that first practice. As far as when you sign, who you sign.
That's the thing. Bruce Pearl signed this group. Mm-hmm. Like this is the guys he signed. You're better, but like again, I said no matter I thought this team was between a 7 and 10 seed. And the Mississippi State and Ole Miss losses probably kept you from being there. So there's probably a couple of games difference, but I don't think it's a drastic difference.
Appreciate it, Terry. We're running behind because of our first long break. Need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Who we got hanging on, Dan?
Yellowhammer.
All right, Yellowhammer. Hold on. You're up when we come back here on the Wednesday Drive.
Looking for a
Cobb.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Let's get right back to the drive hotline. And Yellowhammer is up next. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon. I'd like y'all's opinion on a couple of things. And first of all, basketball. We're talking about college basketball, the SEC, and particular order, just your impression, the top two or three teams, and then nationally, the top two or three teams. And you know how in football, the SEC is like the standard. And so is there somebody nationally that's on the level? Or is it kind of even, Steven? Or is there like a really, big, scary team out there?
In basketball right now,
right.
The Big 12 is the standard in basketball this year. The SEC was last year. The Big 12 with, in my opinion, when you start talking about their top group of four or five teams, to me are clearly better than the four or five teams from any other league, in my opinion.
And I think there's some really good teams in the Big Ten.
Yeah, they are, you don't go as deep.
Michigan, Michigan State, Illinois, Purdue, Nebraska all feel like they're probably in the top.
And then the ACC's not, but Duke is.
Yeah, you got one team there. But I think for me, if I go
– I mean, if he was talking teams.
You start talking about Big 12, and you go Arizona, Iowa State, Kansas, Houston, Texas Tech.
Right.
How about this, Jason? Do you think there's an SEC team outside of Florida that has the stuff for a lengthy NCAA tournament?
I don't. Alabama might go make a bunch of threes.
I think Arkansas might.
I don't know. Guard play might do it, but yeah. But yeah, no, y'all haven't answered the question. Last year was SEC basketball, and to be quite honest, football for this league in the last two or three years has not been the standard, in my opinion. The Big Ten's top two have been better than the SEC's top group, in my opinion.
I think the conference depth has still been there.
But you're not as elite, in my opinion.
And you haven't been able to win the national championship the way you did for so many years in a row.
The depth, I'm not a big bowl person, but that's the only way you can judge depth. And the SEC has not been very good in recent years.
Okay, well, thanks. Appreciate it.
Appreciate the call, Yellowhammer. 334-321-1390.
Want to talk a little baseball?
Definitely want to talk some baseball.
With a guy who was on the call?
Last night, 17-2, and it was I didn't get a chance to make it over there. I mean, I've been at most of the ball games. Didn't get a chance to get over there last night because I was concerned that I was sick.
Correct.
But listening to it and sounded like, I mean, Dre Alvarez, after he gave up a couple of runs, just something clicked.
Yeah, no, just got a little off in the second inning. A walk hit by pitch, and then Chris Rembert, a rare error for him.
Right.
Give up a couple of runs. Could have been more. And then he settled in, and
he was as dominant
as I can recall. And the offense was just unbelievable. Like, it was outside of that one error. Butch talked about him pregame, and I talked to him after the game about, he said, I want to be present. Be present in the moment. Don't worry about this weekend. Don't worry about last year. You lost twice to UAB last year. Don't worry about anything else but just being present. And I thought for six innings offensively, that was as present as you can be. Every at bat, they were engaged. They didn't give away at bats. The move from Eric Gavar back to third base.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon McCrane doesn't have to be elite at shortstop.
But
he just has to be good.
He's pretty darn good.
But Gavar is elite at third base.
Oh, he is. He's a plus plus guy.
You went from being good at short and good at third to being good and elite.
Right.
I'll take that all day long. And so Chris Rembert's getting healthier again. The concern is that Bristol Carter's still dealing with the strain a little bit because he's playing unbelievable. He's out of his mind right now. But, you know, you got a couple of guys a little dinged up as you get into SEC play. I don't think we'll see Griffin Graves again this weekend yet. But once again, you're able to get into through a game with really nobody that you would go, hey, that's absolutely a weekend guy. LJ Cormier could give you a couple innings on a weekend. But look, now you got everybody ready for potentially Friday 2 on Saturday because of the weather in Columbia this weekend. So you might turn around and have three games before, you know, Sunday. So being able to get through a game last night without having to use any of those arms and going on the road, cold weather, cooler weather, that was a big deal, I thought, last night. Really good performance.
334-321-1390. Let's get to the phone before we get to our final break of hour number one.
Greg.
Hey, Greg.
How y'all doing today?
Pretty good.
Good.
Well, I'm pulling for baseball to help us out a little bit. Good Lord, it's been a tough year, but looked like we finally pulled one out today. And I'll tell you what, that Kevin Overton playing a little bit of point for us starting to click a little bit. He's been averaging double figures here, but I don't know, past 6-7 games, ain't he?
Oh, yeah, he's probably averaging 16, I would think.
Yeah, played 36 minutes today, so switching between point and a two-guard. And 22 points on 8 of 19 shooting, 6 of 12 from 3, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, no turnovers. That's pretty strong. It's a pretty strong line right there. And he's giving you a little bit of Denver Jones vibes a little bit. He's not a classic point guard. But I thought defensively he did a really good job today too. I thought he played really good defense, and so yeah, he was the key to the game in my opinion.
I'd like to see him and Pat on the four and Pat playing some off ball.
They did some of that today.
Mm-hmm.
They did. I noticed some of that.
I'd like to see a little bit more of it. You know, I'm gonna throw this out there, guys. I ain't been able to call in a while, but I've reading up on a lot, and I kind of want to get your take on it. It's kind of, you know, what would you do? I'm going to say in this situation, we've been spoiled for a while with Bruce, but what it was, you know, I was at school and, you know, we couldn't do much, you know. And now, you know, you see what you got. What if somebody, you know, told you Bruce Pearl's going to come first couple of years, it's going to be tough, but then he's going to win you a couple of SEC championships. Take you to a few Final Fours, this, you know, deep runs, tournament teams, everything else, and then he's going to retire and his son's going to take over and you're going to have probably 2 years of figuring it out and then you'll be strong again. Would you take that?
Every day and twice on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, if I know that after next year Auburn's going to be, you know, back in the NCAA and, you know, capable of making deep runs, on a regular basis.
Or even the opportunity to go, hey, look, see what it looks like. But you've built a program. The difference is now, though, is like it's hard to build a program. You're building teams because of the portal. It's really difficult.
That's
and
right.
So you start to figure out, well, how do you want to do this? Does Stephen Pearl now want to invest more in high school recruiting? Because you're in a gap year. They had all these guys they had to sign out of the portal, and you brought in a couple of guys. You couldn't go sign a bunch of high school players because you don't know how many of these guys you were going to be have back. You knew you had a couple of spots, but you also knew you're going to go need some portal guys. So this was a gap year in terms of high school recruiting. I don't think you're going to go sign four or five high school guys a year anymore unless something changes. So you got to figure out how you want to build a roster. And in year one, you had no choice. Here's the roster. Here's what you had to do. You had to go find some guys to fill in holes, and you're not going to go sign 10 elite players because you just can't do that. And so now you got to go figure it out in year two.
Well, a lot of guys, you know, they cut their teeth at lower levels. But I'm going to tell you, if anything, you can't say nothing. But, you know, this had to be a learning year. And I think he's had some challenges with some egos, maybe possibly even a little bit of himself taking a look in the mirror. And, you know, I'm pulling for him. I think he's got somebody in his corner that's definitely going to help him out and help keep him grounded. When he, you know, how nice would it is it just to be able to pick the phone up and call Bruce Pearl, you know, just so happens to be your dad, and get some tough advice on somebody that's been there, done that. So, I mean, I know it's hard. I know everybody's been a little up on him about it, and I've been critical of some things. The mentality of this team at times, it seemed like the ego's not playing together, but I think, if anything, there's been a little bit of everything this year, and I think that'll pay dividends down the road. But much as we want to win, we need to be patient with this right here. And but I just want to call in and get y'all's opinion, guys. Hey, love the show. War Eagle.
Good hearing from you, Greg. 334-321-1390. Let's get to our final break of the afternoon, final segment with Jason as we continue here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. 390, toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final segment here of hour number one with Bill, Dan, and Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover.
I know Adam Cole's got some post-game stuff going on. I'm going to see if maybe he can buzz in before the end of the show.
Oh, okay,
live
cool.
Live from, because I know he was there at the game in Bridgestone Arena today.
Oh, yeah. So that'll be a bonus if we do get him. Let's get back to The Drive hotline, and John is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. It's an honor to talk on the Skybar hotline. I appreciate you taking my call.
Oh, yeah.
John.
Good hearing from you.
I'm probably going to get in trouble if my brother hears this call, but to me, one of the biggest problems Auburn's had for the last few years is we don't have a true point guard. Tahad's not really a point guard.
Right.
Denver wasn't. I love Denver playing it, but he wasn't a true point guard. And I know that Bruce always kind of favors smaller point guards, but there's a kid across town that is as good as I've seen in a long time. Antoine Daniels, he's on the Marquise.
Yep.
He is the legitimate Division I Power 5 or Power 4 point guard. He's 6'6". He can play defense. He's strong. You know, he's kind of limited in the Auburn High system to show out and score 30-40, but I guarantee he could probably get 20 points playing at Auburn, but definitely hand out the ball and not get turnovers. And I just don't understand why they don't look at him.
John, it's funny you mentioned that because I showed some clips of him to my wife the other night and said, listen, you got an SEC player, in my opinion, that's right here in town.
Yeah, I mean, that's a legacy.
To me,
it's
a freebie. You're like, hey, this guy's going to stay. He's going to be here. I watched him play. I didn't see him play this year, but I watched him play last year. He's athletic. He reminds me a lot of his dad in that I think there's a lot of games still left for him. To me, it seems like a no-brainer. I agree, John. No question about it.
A lot of more recruiting in high school through AAU now.
Yeah.
And he played for his dad and the team out of Orlando, so he wasn't playing in the
– No, I guess nobody's right.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I'm telling you, the kid, he's a winner. He's a great kid, a good student. I just don't understand. Yeah, and it kind of happened with Garrison. Garrison Brooks, you know, goes to North Carolina. Auburn didn't really recruit him.
Yeah.
And I know we had.
We're about out of time, John. Yeah, great stuff. I'm just going to say, yeah, you'd hate to see somebody like that leave. Jason, let everybody know what.
Yep. Be in Missouri, heading to there, Auburn 247. Go check us out, auburnundercover.com.
Uh-oh, a home emergency is looming.
Auburn Network production.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell for being with us there in hour number one. Jason's been busy, obviously, with all of his work there at Auburn Undercover, but doing a great job with Andy covering, you know, with having men's basketball. Jason getting plenty of opportunities and doing a great job on color for Auburn baseball, which is off to an outstanding start. Is it 14 or 15 and 2 now? Let me
Overall record, yeah, for Auburn baseball?
Overall, yes. But, I mean, they won big last night over UAB 17-2. They're 14-2 on the season. And heading to Missouri, and Jason will be making that trip as well with Brad Law this weekend for that SEC opening series in Columbia.
I think even with a 14-2 record, you're still talking about a situation where you want to get to that 13-14 win plateau in the SEC.
This team should have higher aspirations than that.
But what's so crazy is the SEC is so competitive that the difference between a 13 win team and an 18 or 19 win team could be marginal.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I mean, that's absolutely. Like, I mean, it's like your margins are razor thin, and a 19-11 in this SEC is phenomenal.
You're absolutely right.
It's phenomenal. 13-17 would get you into the NCAA tournament.
Does get you into the NCAA tournament, but anything, you know, pretty much if you win 16 or 17 games, you're hosting a regional.
But I could see this team playing a lot of games that are, you know, still up for grabs going into the 7th, 8th, 9th innings, and you just need to win enough of those, right, to then maybe do some damage in the postseason. I know this team right now is, I mean, when you're in the top 5, top 10, it's not about the bubble, but we haven't started conference play yet.
No.
And like this thing is, I mean, and you can play your way out with some slow starts early on, but I think this team has the chance to throw a lot of punches. Again, a lot of firepower and astonishingly young, right? I think
how
many of these guys are freshmen?
It is amazing how many freshmen and sophomores are leading the way this year.
We thought they were ahead of schedule last year, right? Because it felt like despite the disappointment of the 24 season, Butch was willing to go out and get high school players that he thought could step in and help him immediately or help him eventually, and those guys helped immediately. And you saw, I mean, it was a young lineup last year.
Yes.
And some of those guys have taken a step forward, and they're in the everyday lineup, and you've got some, it's like it got even younger. Right, like it's like it's with a couple of freshmen.
Yeah, you have three more. You have three more freshmen, two true freshmen and a redshirt freshman who are in the everyday lineup right now, yeah, with the McCrane brothers and Ethan Bingaman.
And usually, I think that you'd be talking about how bright the future is, but it's like this team is a top five team
right now.
Right now,
yes, indeed.
And the future seems extremely bright. But conference play starts this weekend, and it does feel like the problem is a lot of SEC teams seem to be coming into conference play with momentum. Too, like
oh my goodness, look at the records. I mean,
Missouri,
yeah, Missouri's won 13 straight games. They're 15-2 and they're not ranked, so this is a huge opportunity for them. And I mean, Auburn's schedule, look, anybody in the SEC is going to have a ridiculous schedule, but you know, you've got you have 10 series, so you're only playing two-thirds of the other teams in the league. Auburn after Missouri is at Texas. Then they are at Alabama. Then they host Arkansas and then Kentucky before they go to Florida, host Oklahoma, go to Texas A&M and Mississippi State, and then host Georgia. So, it's a lot of very highly ranked teams on the schedule this year. That's just the way it is in this league.
Speaking of Auburn baseball, folks have been enjoying Adam Cole's appearances on the show these last couple of weeks. He is in Nashville. He is doing beat writer duties right now, so he's probably not going to be able to join us. If he gets free for a couple minutes the end, he's going to try. But no, it's understandable. I've told him that's a red card, lifetime ban from the show, removal from Hall of Fame potential. You know, you take his voting away. But no, and we really appreciate Jason was fantastic in the first hour, and we really appreciate everybody who jumps in and helps out and contributes. And Adam Cole has been, I think he's fit right in these last couple of weeks.
Absolutely has.
Really knows baseball and has been covering the men's basketball team very closely and is in Nashville and he'll be
Advertiser, of course, the Montgomery Advertiser.
That's right, and he'll be there tomorrow when Auburn and Tennessee square off. Also going to make it tough for Justin Ferguson tomorrow.
Our
usual Thursday guest is going to have an Auburn 8.
I was thinking the first minute of the second half when Mississippi State went up 38-30 in the first minute of the second half. I was thinking, well, Ferg may be back tomorrow, but no.
He also
I'm glad that he's not.
Want to mention just because I know Ferg's written about it and talked about it, but his grandfather passed away over the weekend.
I didn't know that.
He was extremely close with his grandfather, and so it's best wishes to Justin Ferguson, who's been a friend of the show for a long time, and he's covering the games in Nashville as long as he can. I know he's gonna go to a service sometime in the next couple of days as well, but he's not gonna be on the show tomorrow because of the Auburn Tennessee game and the timing of that. So we'll be catching up with Justin again soon. But just wanted to toss out there and offer him our best wishes. Yeah.
That of course is because, and in case you were, I don't know, in a padded cell or something and had no access or anything, Auburn with a 79-61 win over Mississippi State today in a game
our show's huge in padded cells. I don't know if you've seen the latest research from Steve.
Yeah. But in a game where Auburn trailed by 10 in the first half and 8 in the first minute of the second half, the Tigers then really played well. From the last 19 minutes of the ball game, Auburn played extremely well, probably as well as they have played since the Florida win.
And in a stretch over the last couple of weeks where it feels like it's been agreed upon from all parties that there needs to be urgency, right? Whether it's Steven, whether it's the players when they talk to the media, whether it's anybody watching the team, whether it's anybody who covers the NCAA tournament.
It was the crew at the SEC tournament today from the SEC network that was saying the exact same thing.
Yeah, I mean I think the Kentucky game as well where you thought they met the moment. From an urgency standpoint, and at times in the Mississippi State game the first time around, right, falling down 20 and then fighting back to take a 7-point lead late, even though Mississippi State came back and ultimately won that game. Like, you saw a little bit of what you were talking about that night, but no, I think after Auburn fell behind and it looked bleak, the response in the second half is promising, and this team. It feels like this team has the chance to punch a ticket for the NCAA tournament tomorrow.
They need to win tomorrow.
They have a chance.
Yes.
To punch a ticket, I think.
Lost today, that was it.
No.
I mean, and I don't NCAA tournament.
And I don't think they're getting in with a loss tomorrow.
No, I don't either.
Like I don't.
But
think
I mean, today it would have been definitely would
no
have
chance.
Been like no, you would have finished your regular season at 16-16, and then maybe. I'm sure you would have gotten an NIT bid at 16-16, but I wonder, do you take an NIT bid if you finish 16-16 and you've lost 9 of the last 11? Jason was saying he's all for, a postseason opportunity for this team regardless. I just wonder, how they would feel It used to be a situation where the first-year head coach, mm-hmm. I'd say, I would have always said, absolutely, absolutely play any postseason you can because you want to try to build some momentum for next year. But these days, like we were talking about earlier, with no guarantees of any returnees on the roster, I'm sure you'll have some, but, I mean, there are no guarantees. You can't be really building for the future. I mean, I guess it could be good for the coach to have some postseason experience.
I'm sure that this team doesn't want to address the NIT question until the book.
Until there is no chance, yeah. no chance to get to the NCAA tournament.
Until the verdict is in, from the committee. If it turns out that Auburn was on the outside looking in, I think you would want to know how the players feel about an NIT run. And I think if the players were on board with trying to win the NIT, and I think there would need to be, at least from the 7-man rotation, I think there'd need to be some consensus, right? Like because trying to go to the NIT if 3 of your 7 rotation pieces don't want to, may not be a good idea after all.
No,
because you could go out there and undermanned and something worse than they were when you miss the NCAA tournament. If everyone's on board, now this is something important to think about with the NIT. A couple years ago, last season even, I think that teams that didn't make the NCAA tournament, there were coaches who were ready to close the book on the season and start looking at the rosters because recruiting was about to start.
Yeah, that's right.
Recruiting, the portal opened during the NCAA tournament.
During the tournament last year.
During the
like
NIT.
The second, the second round was getting going.
Auburn was recruiting Keyshawn Hall mm-hmm. during the NCAA tournament while they were making, getting ready for Florida in the Final Four. This year, portal window opens after the tournament's over. I wonder if that could lead to some. I know you'll still have players deciding they're going into the portal.
Oh, you have players deciding they're going into the portal. We've already had stories about, negotiations going on and accusations of Auburn being involved in that.
A guy can't buy a ticket and watch mid-major basketball anymore. I mean, it's
if you're making enough money to buy courtside seats, why not?
When did that become against the rules? I think you're not
supposed to be scouting in person.
A guy just wants to watch some basketball. What's the big deal?
I'm sure he just went and wasn't going to mention anything about the game.
or the players. Just want to look at the arena.
Yeah, that's
just
right.
Just want to check out the venue. All right, but it's,
there are already some potential deals,
but I could see
that are ready to be announced as soon as the portal opens.
I could see programs that would have skipped the NIT even a year or two ago deciding to participate this year because you want to
focus on getting your roster.
But I still would say if this Auburn team, like if you lose tomorrow to Tennessee and you're not in the NCAA tournament field, and the players and the coaches want to go to the NIT and they're in on like they want to make a run and try to end the season that way, and change the narrative a little bit of how the season went, I think. Go for it. Like I don't see a downside in that situation.
There are a couple of things. I just wonder how it would feel, in the NIT, being an SEC team, you might get a first round game here. What kind of crowd do you think there'd be for an NIT game here?
I don't know. I mean, I remember, what's crazy is 20 years ago when Auburn was hosting NIT games, but they weren't a perennial tournament team. I remember was it Baylor? Like Auburn almost made the Final Four of the NIT one of the Lebo years.
Yeah,
and Baylor
they won 24 games.
And
year.
Baylor came here and it was rocking.
It was.
Remember Beardy's?
It was.
Now that was.
But that
know,
was. That was because that was as good as it got back then.
A generation ago, and it's a different world now. It's a different arena and a different Auburn program.
I just wonder that a lot of folks would go. That's okay. We'll just watch it on TV or listen to the broadcast.
It would probably be for the hardcores. I could still see if they did it while the students were in town. I could still see a pretty good crowd in question. Sometimes the NIT, I know the NIT has happened and they've come to campuses while they're on spring break. It's like, well, that's a tougher.
At least it won't be here. Spring break will be over.
Right.
Obviously.
So I mean, I think
this
if all,
is spring
yeah,
break right now,
I
so.
Could see it. I could see it still. I could see it still getting a pretty good house. Maybe it's not. Alabama or Kentucky level intensity from the jungle, but I could still see folks getting behind a game or two at home, depending on. I mean, you'd have to get past the disappointment of not being in the NCAA tournament, right? And that's still like it's tough to oversell how it certainly feels like tomorrow's game is win and you're in,
yeah,
and lose and you're not.
Yeah, it's like elimination. It's an elimination game.
You are in
the postseason right now. Yeah. You're in a play-in game tomorrow.
You are in a situation where you flip your cards and they're going to flip theirs, and the high card wins. And if you don't have the cards tomorrow, you're probably not playing in the postseason anymore. You got to get up from the table and you got to go home. You got to pick up the pieces and go home. You got to do something like that. So I think a lot of teams don't have that situation. A lot of teams don't have the luxury of saying, hey, win tomorrow and you're probably in the NCAA tournament. They got a lot more work to do than that, or they've already gone home. So it's high stakes basketball, and I really want to see, and it's not necessarily as high stakes for Tennessee, who knows they're in, who probably can't improve their bracket position all that much, even with a lengthy run in the NCAAs. You know, if you were, how about this? If you were a Tennessee fan, I mean, would you think tomorrow? I mean, what kind of intensity would you expect from your team tomorrow in a tournament game when they have their NCAA?
They don't have an awful lot to be playing for. I mean, they really don't. I mean, maybe if they win the conference tournament, they maybe move up a spot.
And I think that's maybe advantage Auburn.
Yeah,
compared to if you were playing, like, I mean, you could be playing a team tomorrow that was still fighting to get in themselves.
Yeah, and as Stephen Pearl said today in the pregame, I mean, look, if Auburn wins, their first three opportunities are revenge opportunities, payback. To beat teams that beat them, all in games that Auburn had chances to win.
Mm-hmm. And the Tennessee game was, you know, a game that really started. I mean, they had the Alabama game was a week later, but that Tennessee game really started the slide. I mean, we wondered if there were some, you know, if there were some serious flaws on display during Auburn's performance in Knoxville. And you were willing to excuse it's a road game against a tough team. You know, it's not the end of the world when you lose those, but it started a pretty dry spell for Auburn throughout that month of February.
And
Tennessee played the offense.
Yeah, one and seven was February.
I remember breaking down the Tennessee game with you, Bill, and it was like Tennessee was up significantly late in the first half, and you didn't get the sense they were playing all that well. Like that was how Auburn was faring in that Tennessee game. Was Tennessee's up 14 or 16 in before halftime, and you still feel like they haven't really gotten into gear yet.
Yeah.
But Auburn was glacial. So it was, I mean, yeah, this is an opportunity to play better than that. And I still think there's not a ton of I do wonder about the overall gap in talent between Auburn and Tennessee. I think Auburn can hang.
I think so too.
I think they've beaten teams as good or better than Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So and the thinking is you have far more to play for tomorrow than a Tennessee team that's in the top 25 and could be a 5 or a 6 seed in the NCAAs on Sunday. Like there is you call it what you want, urgency gap. There should be. I mean, if there's not, then we could be talking about the NIT on Friday, or I won't be here, but we'll be talking about the NIT.
Yeah, you're right about that.
And we probably won't be talking about the NCAAs if Auburn can't get it done tomorrow. But you played your way into that position by coming back against Mississippi State today.
Yeah, we'll talk more about the game today. We'd love to hear from you. Anything on your mind, sports-wise, 334-321-1390. Bill and Dan here with you in hour number two. We'll get to our first break of the second hour of the show. Come on in and join us.
War Eagle, this is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're listening to...
It is Wednesday. Bill and Dan, I'm having trouble. It's spring break. I wasn't in the studio yesterday.
That huge margarita in your hand right there.
No.
You put the lime in the coconut.
I lost the umbrella.
Call me in the morning.
For my drink, yeah. No.
We're roasting a pig out in the parking lot.
It is spring break, and hopefully everybody that's on spring break is getting the kind of weather we've gotten here.
Mentioned.
Except maybe without the pollen. Goodness.
Have you seen my car?
Have you seen mine? Your car's closer. Your car looks more like normal.
Good Lord.
My car looks green.
No, my car looks like Two-Face from the Batman movies because of where I park. The side that you can see right now is not covered in all that much pollen. And meanwhile,
I see the front right now.
It's
great. What's crazy is when you first step on the gas and the cloud it sort of floats by your car as the pollen lifts off.
And the Jurassic Park wasps that are buzzing around now because the season's starting to change a little.
I swear this is the earliest we've had this kind of pollen. We had it was a warm and wet.
I guess
winter.
I think the prediction is like a 6 months of relatively hot and dry weather is sort of what's on the docket for the and that's it's here early and. Hopefully it's not so bad, and hopefully folks are enjoying their spring break. Wanted to mention our pals at Skybar do sponsor the Drive Hotline.
Right.
They're closed for a couple of days, giving their staff some time off. Should be back in action, I think, tomorrow night. Skybar should be open again before the students get back this weekend.
Yeah, well, that's good, we've got a lot to talk about. As we mentioned, we'd go into a little more on the basketball game today, where Auburn beat Mississippi State, so they win the season series 2-1. as both teams won on their
the rubber match.
Yeah, Auburn wins the rubber match today.
Auburn wins the rubber match.
But a game where Auburn got off to a quick start, and things looked pretty promising early on. Keyshawn Murphy really was. Impressive early on. Scored Auburn's first 7 points. Auburn was out to a 7-2 lead. But then Murph, who had committed one foul, celebrated a little too much in front of Chris Jans after hitting a three and was hit with a tee, and which, of course, that counts as a foul as well. So he had two fouls in the first couple of minutes of the ball game and sat most of the first half.
Right. Wait, Auburn, it's 1-1 now. There was only one meeting in the so potentially, I guess, in the postseason, potentially a rubber match.
I don't know why I thought Auburn had beaten State. That's right.
Rematch.
They
beat Ole Miss. They beat Ole Miss in Starkville. But this is for Oxford. For Keyshawn Murphy playing against his former team and who struggled in that game.
He really did struggle in Starkville.
Huge game today for
Murphy. Yeah, and like I said, was off to a quick start. But then State started coming back, and they had a couple of runs in the first half. They went up. We mentioned in the first hour, Auburn had a three. Sebastian Williams Adams hit a three with just over 13 minutes to play in the first half, and Auburn.
When Overton's hitting, man, that's what changed.
Kevin Overton was the guy that really got Auburn back in the game and sort of helped them get over the top in the second half.
No pun intended.
He just finished with 19.
No pun intended.
The
over the top.
Yeah. Was it 19 he finished with? I believe
22.
Oh wow. Okay.
Finishes with 22, 15 in the second half, and had a. I mean, when does he hit the back to back threes? There's a stretch. He stretches the lead with a pair of threes, and it feels like.
Well, that's when State
is that 12?
Had cut
is that 12?
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, State had cut it. And then Auburn was able to push it back up to double digits, and they end up winning going away 79-61 today. So, KO with 22, tied for the leading scorer in the ball game with Josh Hubbard. They each had 22, but Auburn had four players in double figures. Keyshawn Murphy, who only played 21 minutes because of those two early fouls, 15 points and 9 rebounds in 21 minutes today for Murph. 14 points for Keyshawn Hall. A lot of those coming late. He only had 3 points at the half. He finished with 14 points. And Tahad Pettiford, 13. So Auburn, four players in double figures. But Elijah Freeman, I thought, was a big factor. Only had 7 points, but 10 rebounds for Elijah.
Hall had a 6-0 run himself when Mississippi State had cut it to five.
He hit a three and then was fouled shooting a three.
Yeah, Mississippi State actually cut it to three. After the Hubbard layup with 5.5 minutes left, Freeman hits the dunk off.
Yeah, it was like 59-56 or something.
It was 60-57.
Okay.
That's right when we started the show. Mm-hmm. Murph has the pass to Freeman for a dunk cutting to the basket. Auburn steals it. Keyshawn Hall has the three in transition on the break. And then on the next possession, There's a Murph block, and then a Keyshawn Hall. Maybe they got a basket because then they get to 59. But Hall gets the and the, not the and one. He misses the 3-pointer. He's fouled on it. Gets to shoot 3 free throws, and Auburn stays multiple possessions ahead from that point.
Yeah. How about over the final five? Over the final 5 minutes and 26 seconds, Auburn outscored Mississippi State 19-4.
Yeah, that's after, is that after they cut it to
close the game.
After they cut it to three.
After they cut it to three. Yeah. So.
Which is not what you'd seen out of Auburn in the closing minutes.
No.
Of games.
Of most games, that's something that had been a problem for Auburn time after time was closing out games.
And there's at least one Overton three in that 19-point run too, and I want to say maybe a second one because he hits the one to make it 70.
Yeah, he had one three.
Oh, he has the three there. Okay,
he had three that put it that moved it from 9 to 12.
Yes, and that's and there's a timeout right afterward, and it feels like the game's over.
Yeah, Keyshawn Hall had 8 points. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, 8 out of Auburn's 10 next 10 points in that period. That 3-pointer, the 3 free throws, and then a layup. So
10 rebounds for Freeman.
Yeah, that was big. Yeah. I thought he played very well. He can make some plays. There were a couple of plays in the game today where he just went up over everybody and got the rebound. I mean, he can really sky.
4 steals, 2 blocks for Keyshawn Murphy on top of what he did.
Again, in 21 minutes.
Yeah. On top of 15 points, too. 15 and 9.
15 points, 9 rebounds, and
4 steals, 2 blocks.
And barely over half of a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was
got into some foul trouble early. Got a foul, and then got a tech saying something to his former team, telling his former team, "How do you do?"
Well,
I
think it was right at Chris Jans. It was right. It was there was no question that that was. He wanted to let Chris Jans what it, you know, he didn't get to shoot threes when he was at State last year. He had just hit that three, and I think he just wanted to let him know, "I can hit that shot." I don't think that's exactly what he said, but
season's greetings, right? A little March Madness season's greetings from Keyshawn Murphy to his former coach.
Yeah, but so Auburn goes to 17-15.
Whatever it was, the referee very clearly said, "We're not."
Well,
gonna
I
let...
think the official was very nearby when
right,
that happened,
standing next to the coach.
Yes, that's unfortunate for Keyshawn Murphy that you didn't notice the guy in stripes right then when you did that. But, yeah, it's Tennessee tomorrow, same time, 1:30 will be the airtime. That's what we do know that for sure, 1:30 airtime on Wings 94.3. And probably around 2:15-ish, 2:20, maybe closer to 2:30. Today actually was wasn't as late as I thought it would be. I mean, it got started a little after about 2:16.
Yeah, I think they pushed it from 2 to 2:15. But I mean, well, it wasn't as though Kentucky LSU went crazy long or anything.
No.
And the one cool thing about these games is you don't have the ESPN crush, right? Of we're going to start this game at 6 and another game at 8.
No, they give 2.5 hours in between games of a session. And then there's a break between the sessions, between the morning and the evening sessions.
And I think that there's a reasonable amount of time scheduled between these games in the tournament, too. So, I mean, I think there's the chance that you can start a 2 o'clock game around 2 o'clock, unless the first game.
You mean in the NCAA tournament?
In the SECs.
Oh, the SECs, it's 2.5. It's 2.5 between games, and then there's a longer break. Yeah. Because you don't start the evening session until 6. So it's actually 4 hours difference from the second game to the first game of the next session.
And Ole Miss and Texas are going to get going right after we finish up here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive. One of the it's the first of the second pair of games in the session. Oklahoma, I think both Texas and Oklahoma have pretty important games tonight, right? Because I could see Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, they're hanging on right now. It feels unlikely that a single conference would have like 3 of the 4 teams in Dayton, because then you're talking about matching up 2 teams from the same league in the play-in game. Right now, Auburn, Texas, and Oklahoma all feel like they're pretty close to that first 4, that first 4 line.
Yeah, it's funny now.
A Texas loss and an Oklahoma win today would make it even more complicated.
You know, it's funny because I think it was Lenardi earlier today saying he's got Oklahoma in.
Yeah.
He's got Oklahoma not in the first 4. He's got them in.
And they've gone from, I mean, they weren't even.
Well, they've won 8 out of 10, haven't they? I mean, they played much better coming down the stretch.
When they played Auburn, the thought that they were an NCAA tournament team seemed ridiculous.
No, that's right.
Like, I mean, the thought was like, oh, but yeah, maybe they're going to win all their games or something. But like, no, you didn't. We weren't talking about Oklahoma. And I know other bracketologists still have them as a long shot. And I know that Lenardi, over the last 2 years, fairly or unfairly, people have lobbed the accusation at Lenardi that his projection skews towards the SEC and his employer happens to be ESPN,
yeah,
who shows the SEC games and wants as many SEC teams in the NCAA tournament as possible.
That was
something that folks accused Lenardi of when he kept Auburn in, when most bracketologists had Auburn out of their projection earlier this year. And I feel like right now, he's probably going out on a limb by having Oklahoma in and not even as a first four team.
Most folks
have Oklahoma at least first four, if not out of the
trying
tournament
to get
entirely
in
right now.
Yes. So that's really interesting. Hey, we're behind. Need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join us. 334-321-1390. Come on in as we head into the final 20 minutes of the Wednesday Drive. Welcome back into the drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. That's interesting. We were just talking about that. Just yesterday, we were talking about you were talking yesterday with Jake about, you know, just look at the talent that was on last year's team and the opportunity some of those guys are getting with Denver in the league now. As Jake was saying, you know, it's like three guys.
Chaney?
Yeah. Yeah. Not bad. Chaney. Chaney hit his first two buckets.
Yeah. You know, and Dylan playing a role in Sacramento.
Yeah. Dylan getting a deal, and then I'd seen that Miles Kelly had 45 points in 31 minutes in a G League game. So look at the talent was on that team last year.
Jani was an All American and has had 50 points, I believe, in a G League game this year as well. I mean, so he's playing well. But no, it was a loaded group of really good college basketball players, and even like that list doesn't include Chad Baker Mazzara, who was really good last year,
and a key piece. On that team.
Mercurial piece of last year's team, and a guy who was on USC for a stretch of this year and now isn't. And I had forgotten completely that Jakai Howard, who wasn't really in the rotation last year, but was a freshman.
You could see the athleticism there.
Forgotten completely that Jakai had fallen. You know, he transferred to Utah, and he left the program in January and will presumably try his luck in the transfer portal with a third college basketball team in 3 years.
And that sort of leads to when you're talking about, you know, going out into the portal, however many players Auburn needs to go out in the portal and get. You were talking about it a little bit yesterday, but in talking with folks that follow the program and cover the program, there are a couple of things. I mean, obviously, for Steven, He's going to have guys that understand defense and are, you know, you would figure, proven defenders. But it's going to be very important, I think, getting the right kinds of kids in, players in, so that you've got chemistry, so you have that chemistry. Like, look, Bruce Pearl, I think, did a remarkable job with – first of all, finding players from wherever. I mean, they didn't go out and get an awful lot of power four players.
Listening to Barry McKnight yesterday talking about Scott Cross and some of the things that Scott Cross has been able to do since arriving at Troy. And that wasn't a Troy program enjoying much success in men's basketball in the Sun Belt when Scott Cross arrived a couple of seasons ago. One of the things he's great at is identifying the guys that are under the radar relative to recruits in that conference.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to identify the ones that fit his system and being able to go get them, and also being able to identify guys that might be a year away but can fit his system and step into the rotation eventually. And that sounds a little bit like what Bruce Pearl was able to do to get Auburn to start winning.
Oh yeah, I mean you find guys. You go to mid majors or smaller schools or even D2 and find guys that can come in and can fit in and can contribute and not just contribute, but I mean guys that can start and could can be really good SEC players.
Or you go get high school players where you're the only coach in your league
right.
that thinks they can help you, and you bet on them and you're right. Like Bruce, I mean, how many SEC offers?
Bryce and Jared.
Many SEC offers did Bryce and Jared have when I think maybe
they didn't have any SEC offers.
Exactly. You know, the thought that you could find two guys that you believe are you know,
become all conference players.
Yeah, and kickstart this yes. run that you had at Auburn. Like I think that's been some that's been part of it. Even I mean, how many SEC guys? I mean, was Chaney considered an SEC player?
Oh,
I mean, there were a couple SEC offers in on Chad, I suppose. But even this last group, of Final Four players, like there were guys in there that Bruce had stuck his neck out and mm-hmm. thought, I'm the only one that thinks this guy can be an SEC contributor, and I'm going to be right that this guy. How many? I mean, was Dylan highly sought after coming
no,
out of high school?
Everybody loved Dylan's athleticism, but I mean he wasn't somebody that everybody just had to have and bring in.
I mean, and especially that first group, but I think that continued
mm-hmm.
throughout Bruce Pearl's run, and it's going to be something Steven and the rest of those coaches are going to have to be able to harness, because I think they're probably going to have to find some guys where they're maybe a little bit under the radar, and Auburn's going to have to be either first or Auburn's going to have to be the only or one of the only SEC offers, and you're going to have to be right that those guys can fit your system and contribute.
And we've talked about, needing to have some carryover. I mean, the fewer returnees you have, the more difficult the job's going to be, because you're going to have more first-year pieces, regardless of how much experience they have, that there's no guarantee that they're all going to fit. So it's going to be very important to evaluate, their personalities as well as their athletic ability. And that's something, it'll be really interesting. We've been hearing for a few weeks that Auburn was going to hire a GM in basketball. And I would sure think it would be very good for Auburn to get that done as soon as possible before players and teams have come to agreements, regardless of the portal being open or not.
Yeah, you think about like the number of players on the board in Moneyball mm-hmm. when they're trying to figure out like what's
that's
the
nothing.
What's the college basketball equivalent? Oh,
you're talking multiples of that number.
That's how you get to that padded cell we were talking about earlier in the show, right? That's how you end up right there, because it's not just limited to the college basketball world, because it's one thing if it's like, all right, well, you need to have a pretty good idea of, let's start here, like the players from high major teams that are going to go into the portal, right? The 60 mm-hmm. or so major conference teams. That's a huge task, right?
And that's not, that's not 20% of Division One.
And we're scratching the surface, right?
Yes.
That's
a small percentage.
And then you get into the mid majors and even some of the low majors, the one bid leagues that are
you get into the non Division Ones.
Yes, you get into Division Two and Division
Players.
Three.
That's
Auburn, Auburn found Chaney Johnson and Elijah Freeman.
That's exactly
from outside
right.
the Division One level. Auburn found Chad Baker Mazzara at a junior college.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's you go down Division Two, Division Three, NAIA, junior college, high school. International players. You got to start thinking about the guys that are playing semi-pro.
Yeah,
that's
why you have to have a GM. I think that's why you have to have a GM.
I mean, I feel like I just named like those are eight different jobs, scouting those eight different mm-hmm. regions to find guys that can maybe help you identify, recruit, sign, and develop. Like that's and while, by the way, the season's going on. Like they've got a game tomorrow.
There have to be thousands of possibilities, and make the right choices,
mm-hmm.
and then convince them to come to your school.
Mm.
You're not drafting. You've got to convince those guys.
It's hard enough to figure out who to bid on in the Greystone.
Yeah, that's right. They don't have any choice. If you pick them, they're yours.
And there's a lot more players available. Yeah. in this pool.
That is right.
Than in the National League.
Yep. All right. Oh, we were about to get to the phone. So if you were there hanging on, give us a call back. We need to get to our final break here on the Wednesday Drive.
Auburn IT delivers professional IT
support.
Welcome back into the Drive. Final segment here on this Wednesday, and let's get back to the Drive hotline. And Slack is up next. Hey, Slack.
What's up, guys?
How you doing, bud? Always good to hear from you.
I couldn't watch the game today. I had a roller and a bucket and a paintbrush in my hand, so it's kind of hard to watch the ball game. Well,
no, it depends.
And I didn't have a TV in the house.
Yeah,
you could watch the game, but you probably wouldn't do a great job with the paint.
Yeah,
in that situation.
That's probably right.
In the bucket of paint.
I think there's any number of catastrophes that could happen. But Slack, they were on the ropes, and I thought, and you haven't seen this in every game of late when Auburn experiences some adversity and some early trouble. I thought they really played well in the second half and really played well down the stretch to make sure that they could play tomorrow.
That's good. I got a portal question, basketball.
All right.
But I know the season's not over, but I guess the first thing you would try to address is inside presence.
Mm-hmm.
Size. The schools that are out of the tournament right now, LSU in particular, they got two or three big guys that can play in this conference, and they got some years left. Is it true that Will Wade might be coming back to LSU?
You know, that rumor has gained some more steam over the last couple of days. You know, I think NC State likes Will Wade. They're going to They're going to make the tournament. He's won a lot in year one. I know folks when he was at McNeese, folks certainly said he would come back to LSU if both sides were open to a reunion. We've seen some reunions in college football and college basketball elsewhere in situations that didn't necessarily end ideally the first time. I wonder if either side would be opposed to a Will Wade reunion, and certainly it would seem to. I mean, what they've done with McMahon, and he was a good coach at the mid-major level, mm-hmm. does not appear to be working, right? Like, and it's going to be tough to recruit McMahon. It's going to be tough for him to recruit his way out.
In a case like LSU, if what would be the best in their best interest? What would be just keep the guy or name an interim? Or how does that work in college basketball?
How about this? I mean,
keep guys from going anywhere else.
Well, with McMahon, I mean, your team right now, you're gonna have to weather the portal no matter what, right?
Yeah.
Whether you keep him or leave him, they're gonna have the option to leave, whether you keep him or you fire him. And my guess would be that with McMahon, I don't know if he's going to be able to recruit his way out of the problem he's got right now, because I do wonder if players might just look at it as a situation that's in decline. It's something Steven would, I think, have to fight off if Auburn had continued this February slide and if they miss the NCAA tournament. But with McMahon, it's multiple years of below average SEC.
Yeah, this
SEC
is his third
results.
Year, right?
Third or fourth. I mean, and it's just yeah,
it hasn't worked.
It hasn't worked, and nope. I could see it being Will Wade. I could see it being anyone else as far as legitimate options, of guys who are either former major conference coaches or even some of the big names at the mid-major level.
Okay. Appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate the call, Slack. Good hearing from you.
Yeah, what do you think of Will Wade maybe coming back to LSU?
I sure wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, they really liked him down there. It didn't end the way they wanted it to, and LSU's done crazier things. So I wouldn't be surprised at all.
I mean, we know some LSU people who noticed how much he was winning at McNeese.
Yes,
like certainly while LSU was not winning, they were watching. They were watching Will Wade, former coach, win a lot at McNeese. I could see. I think that would be a possibility.
Wouldn't even necessarily take the strongest offer in the world.
ULM made a change, and a couple of the names that immediately got linked to the ULM job, former Tennessee coach Donnie Tindall, whose show cause is up, he's down at Chipola, and former NBA player Jason Williams. White Chocolate has been mentioned as a guy who maybe wants to dip his toe into mid-major college basketball. It would be like a Gottlieb thing where he feels like he could bring some NIL money with him and reshape a roster that way and maybe play that into parlay that into a job at a bigger school than ULM.
That would be interesting. All right, Auburn with another shot tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow, sort of should be about the same as today, winding the game down and then giving you our post-game thoughts. So look forward to that. We're out of time, though, here on the Wednesday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.